gather here. Welcome to His Stories Broadcast with Pastors Gil Michelle and Kevin Michelin. Every person has a journey in this life, and God is indeed with us in our journey. In this broadcast, you will be encouraged as you hear others share stories of ways that God has worked in their lives. If you are having questions about God, or you know Jesus and like being encouraged and inspired, then we ask that you pay close attention to the program to hear stories of changed lives. In both church and the courtroom, we call these stories testimonies. So stay tuned with Kevin and Gil as we hear some incredible testimonies from inspiring witnesses. It's time to testify.
Welcome to another His Stories broadcast or podcast, and we have just a wonderful guest this morning, afternoon, or however when you're going to listen to us. But before we do that, if we could go to the Lord in prayer and just offer this time up to Him. Father in heaven, we just give you praise. There's so many things that happen to us in a day. May we just reflect on you and what you're doing in us and through us. Lord, I just ask you to bless these next few moments, that it would be of honor to you, that our hearts would be wide open to what you have to say through our voices. And then those who are listening, may they have attentive ears. And may it just pierce their hearts as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Hi, Gil.
Hey, Kevin. How are you doing?
It's one of those mornings. Sometimes you just have those. We've talked about this before, but yeah. Sort of just kind of a reflective morning. And had a chance. Been doing a lot of more audible Bible things, just kind of going through the Bible.
Yep.
For me, reading's a little less. I'm reading like a news article or something like that. Reading for me is a little cumbersome. It's just the way my brain kind of is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so if I have an audible Bible, I just zip right through, and it retains it. It's like listening to the radio for me.
Right.
So I hit. Micah and most of Matthew this morning, and it's something the definite need for a Savior. Mm-hmm. When you hit the last book of the Bible, and then you could just get the frustration of God, I guess, for lack of a better term.
Yeah.
And then you go to the hope, and it was just really encouraging this morning just to listen to that. And soak in God's word. So
good.
That's where I'm at this morning, I guess, if anything else.
Good. Well, yeah. You look great. You look as tan as I do. Man.
I'm working on it, man.
Yeah.
I'm working on it. I can be accepted in any culture.
Yeah. You're getting there, I tell you. I'm doing pretty good, too. I recognize my need for a Savior as well. I did an 11-hour trip in a car with a 3-year-old. So I recognize my need for a Savior as well. But it was good. It was good. We went down to Atlanta. I had a great time with family. I officiated my brother's wedding. It was his first wedding, but they were married 10 years.
Okay.
So they never had a wedding.
Yeah.
So they were doing this to celebrate 10 years. And it was, man, a great, great experience to see family and everyone else. So
nice.
It was good.
Nice.
But the car experience was a whole nother thing. So, but yeah, that's how I'm doing. But enough about us.
Yes, right. We
have a great guest with us today. She was actually come stuff by way of referral through another sort of mutual friend. But, excuse me, we have with us Amber, is it Wedham?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, there we go.
Good job.
No, thank you. Thank you very much. We have Amber Wedham with us here this morning. She's going to share a story a little bit. And Amber, tell us a little bit about where you're from and kind of a little bit about your background information.
Yeah, I am originally from Chicago and came out to Granger, Indiana, after meeting my husband, because he's born and raised out here.
Okay.
So I've been out here for the past about 7 years.
Okay.
I am the founder and president of a nonprofit called Drew's Gifts from Heaven.
Okay.
And my daytime job is a team leader for the foster care and adoption team over at Oaklawn.
Okay. Awesome. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your faith? How did you come to know the Lord and how you got introduced to the Lord?
Yeah. I'm born and raised Catholic.
Okay.
I went to Catholic school, went to Catholic church, three times a week, had the, uniform, all that good stuff. And when I went to college, I started questioning things as far as the way the Catholic Church was running at that time and the rituals and things like that. That was just kind of like, I wanted more answers. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't really finding them where I was looking. And a girlfriend of mine that was a coworker invited me to go to church with her 1 week because there was a new church opening in South Bend. And she was like, it's going to be really great. It's called North Point Vineyard. You're going to love it. And I'm like, okay, yeah, let's try it. And I went there and... coming from a Catholic background, I was a little confused.
So what are they doing?
I was a little
You mentioned something about someone raised their hand. Like, what are you? You got a question?
Yeah. Right.
There was instruments on the stage, and I was happening? And then they have a woman pastor, and I'm like, that's really cool, but when's the priest going to come up?
Right,
I was really confused with people wearing like jeans and really relaxed.
You're right.
That there was instruments that wasn't like an organ, and that there was women in power, and I thought that was really cool.
Yeah.
And I fell in love. After asking about 500 questions about what was actually happening and what was I seeing, I loved it, and I never looked back. North Point Vineyard became my home very, very quickly.
Mm. Cool. Mm. Very cool. So I'm assuming you and your husband, you all go there?
Yeah.
You
know. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Great. How was so you grew up Catholic. This is a Catholic background.
Yes.
And now you're in this new place, minus the mosh pit, I guess, is the only thing missing. You got everybody relaxed. You got instruments on stage.
Right.
And so how did that sort of start shaping your life, your marriage, and how you started, like, living life?
Yeah, it made me I feel like it just made me a better person. It made me get more involved in my church. It made me – I did more volunteering. Mm-hmm. I got involved in small groups and really made – these relationships with other women in the church that were so special and so important, and I didn't realize how important those relationships were going to be until life moved forward for me. But I just threw myself into the Word and into having that being such a big part of my life very quickly. And I was very dependent on those relationships.
Mm-hmm. Sure. So then now you and your husband, you're living life, you're going to church, you're finding new relationships, powerful relationships in the church.
Yeah, well, did you meet your husband at church or how did you meet your husband?
I actually met my husband. I was working my way through college and finishing up, and I was working in a poker room at a casino.
praise God.
Yeah. God.
I'm like,
you're giving money out to people, right?
Yeah.
There you go. I give away all the money. I take it too.
Yeah,
right.
Take a lot.
And he went out for a guy's night with his friends and walked into my poker room. And
there you go.
Yeah.
It was love at first sight.
Exactly.
Very nice. So now you guys get married.
Yes.
And you have a child.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then kind of walk us through that whole process.
Yeah. Well, when we were pregnant, we went to find out we were having a boy or a girl. And unfortunately, well, they told us that we were having a boy, and then during that same ultrasound, the poor ultrasound tech was so young and so, like, excited to give us all this good news, and then the look on her face changed very quickly. And I just remember her saying, there's only two. And her voice was just very confused, and she ran out of the room and went and got the doctor. And I'm like, that's not good. And the doctor came back in. He said that it looks like there was only two chambers of the heart that developed when there's supposed to be four.
Wow.
And he sent us to a high-risk doctor, which we later found out that Drew was going to have hypoplastic left heart syndrome when he was born, which requires at least three surgeries. Mm. And then and he would be born down in Indianapolis so that he can right away go to Riley Children's Hospital.
Right.
And then after he was born, we found out that not only did he have hypoplastic left heart syndrome, he also had another heart defect that couldn't be diagnosed while he was still in utero called TAPVR, which is transannulus pulmonary venous return, which means that the veins around his heart weren't pumping the blood out to where they're supposed to be, the way they're supposed to go.
Right.
So his diagnosis turned a little worse.
Just as that moment takes place, can you run through the heartbreak at that time?
Yeah. It was awful. 'Cause I gave birth to Drew, and he immediately had to get into an ambulance to go to Riley because I gave birth at IU Hospital down there. And my husband went with him by my request. I didn't want him to stay with me. I wanted him to go with my son. And I got a phone call from my husband and said, they're saying that it's worse.
Okay.
And he gave me the diagnosis of TAPVR. So I wrote it down really quick. And I was recovering from a C-section, so I wasn't moving anywhere and doing anything. And I real quick, I got on my phone. I started Googling stuff. I started looking things up because I didn't know what that was. Mm. I did all my research on hypoplastic left heart syndrome. And I knew that diagnosis. Yeah. I knew it because I studied it.
Mm-hmm.
And I had some good supports within like Heart Mom world because there is a world out there of really good support systems with other mothers who have children with heart defects.
Sure.
So I reached out to a couple and got more information and learned quickly that it was a really rare combination.
Wow.
Mm.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Wow.
Mm. I'm saddened to hear that. So from that point, Drew then is in at Riley Hospital.
Yes.
And you just, you know, we got a few moments on this, but walk us through the Riley experience.
Yeah. Well, first and foremost, Riley is an amazing place, and they have so many special and so special people that work there. Drew had an open heart surgery at about a week old, and things went very well, and they had really good reports with that, and he just hit so many roadblocks. He would have a collapsed lung, or he would get an infection, or we would have to go to the cath lab, and his heart rate would get too high. And it was just like, it was a lot of things right after another. And he had a lot of issues with the ventilator. And if you can't get off the ventilator, you can't go home.
Yes, right.
So there was a lot of dips in his experience at Riley. But the people, the nurses there, especially at the CVICU, were amazing to him and amazing to me because my husband had to go back to work because we have to pay bills still, even if you have a sick child. So I was there by myself. My mom would be able to come and see us and stay with us, but day in, day out, I was there by myself. So when you're there for that long, you make friends with the nurses, and that's your...
It becomes a family.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And everyone got very attached to my son, and we watched the relationships grow and the love for him grow, but he wasn't progressing like he was supposed to be.
Okay.
So there was a lot of sleeping in plastic, awful recliners, and, you know, trying to... We had Halloween there, so me and the art therapist got together, and we got to make him a little costume together, which was so special because that was the only holiday he had.
Yeah.
And I was like, we have to take advantage because we don't know what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. But there was so many people who touched our lives while we were there.
Yeah. You mentioned prior to us, when we were talking prior, that there was a certain toy that Drew really, really liked, and that kind of encapsulates into something a little bit further down the road, too. But can you share that a little bit?
Yeah. He had this frog womanub. So it was a little pacifier with a little frog attached to it. And he loved it. Like, even when he was on the ventilator and he couldn't use a pacifier, he would still hold on to it. Mm. Or we would use it to hold up a tube. Mm. Or it was always around. And we had, like, 8 of them.
Wow.
Because everyone knew that if you dropped it,
it was
you couldn't use it anymore. You had to go, and get it washed and, you know, do all that stuff. So that turned into, we called it Mr. Frog because we were very creative in our naming of toys. And everyone knew that he had this frog. So whenever people would come to visit, they would bring frogs and bring more frogs. And the doctors would be like, oh, he's a little frog man, and make all these fun comments with that. And everyone knew that was his thing. And after he passed, that was one of the things that I really wanted to do was get more frog womanubs to Riley. And I contacted the womanub company, who the people there are amazing. And they cut us a really great deal for fundraising.
Wow.
And we've been able to donate over 500 frog womanubs to Riley.
Okay.
CVICU.
Wow.
That's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. Now, we're going to take a little bit of a break. But when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about, you talked about the fact that Drew did pass.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of how that happened, kind of how what led up to that, and then what you've been doing since then. And so we're here with Amber Wedham, and I'm Gil Michelle. This is Kevin Michelin, and we'll be right back with his stories. Well, hi, everybody. Normally, we would go into a commercial break right now, but Kevin and I would like to just share our hearts with you if we could.
Absolutely.
Once again, I'm Gil Michelle.
I'm Kevin.
And we're just talking to you about the fact that we're looking to do a little bit of fundraising. We're looking to establish our own studio, a podcast studio, and we need the equipment to do that and take these testimonies and record them all across the country.
Absolutely.
So, yep. So, Kevin, what are we trying to do?
Big goal. We're trying to raise $20,000.
Right.
And so we would love to have you donate. It's a little bit of a faith step on our part, but we'd love you to help out spread this ministry across the country.
That's right. So if you would, please go to HisStoriesPodcast.com and look for the donate link and see how you can give toward this goal. We don't believe there's anything too hard for God, and we don't think you think that either.
Absolutely.
So please go to that website and give. We'd like to be able to set the studio up by the end of the year, and we'd love for your help in doing so.
What was the broadcast again?
HisStoryPodcast.com.
Yeah.
And we're back. We are here with Amber Wedham. She is the founder and president and CEO and chief creative officer of Drew's Gifts from Heaven. And she was just sharing with us just this really heartbreaking journey of Drew's birth with I can't even try to.
Heart defects.
Okay, heart defects.
Say heart defects.
Okay, I was trying to say the actual name and I can't. But with one with heart defects, and then that led to him passing. He was only alive for 77 days.
Yes.
So kind of go through that emotional journey as well. How did that affect you and your husband? Obviously, it was heartbreaking.
Mm-hmm.
And then tell us kind of how you were sort of able to rise up out of the ashes after that.
Mm. Yeah. It's when you have a sick child, it's difficult on your marriage, especially when one is not there and the other one is. And so you have to give bad news or good news over phone calls.
Mm.
And Kevin, my husband, was able to come and stay on the weekends with us and go back and forth. But a lot of the really bad things that were happening here and there, I was by myself.
Right.
Mm. So the first time he coded, I was by myself. Mm. The first time he had to get compressions, I was there by myself.
Mm.
Wow.
So my strength, I think, like tripled in the person I was prior to having Drew to the person after having Drew. Because you have to turn into like this mama bear on your own kind of feeling, even though I had such a good support system. And I think we all knew without actually saying that it was not going to be a good end to our journey. Mm-hmm. All the struggles were just a lot. And over and over and over. Nothing.
And there's only so much a little body can take.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. When you're that little, you know, that's a lot for your body to handle.
Yeah.
And, but it was interesting because November 9th of 2014, he got x-rays every day to check his lungs. Mm. And the doctor came in and they said they were amazing.
Mm.
And they were the best he's seen. And he was doing so well, and this had to have been the best day that he's had.
Mm.
And my husband was coming in that day, and we were able to give him a bath and read him stories and have that time with him. And then really late at night, things started having like weird stuff going on that we were like, I don't understand what's happening with his numbers and with all of that stuff. And I had a really bad feeling, but I didn't want to voice it.
Yeah.
I didn't want to put it out to the world that I felt this on the inside.
Yeah.
And we went to sleep, and the next morning they told us that he was being rushed into emergency surgery because his stomach was hard, which is not good. And we did the walk down to the operating room that we did many times, and I had a moment of complete breakdown where I begged him not to leave me. And I fainted, actually, because it was just too much. It was a lot on my heart.
Yeah.
And they took him back to the operating room, and I knew that it wasn't going to be good.
Yeah.
And they were able to bring him back up alive still, but said that there was nothing that they could do, that he was going to pass. So his music therapist was able to come and sing some of his favorite songs. And a lot of his favorite, some of his nurses who were on their day off came.
Oh, wow.
And to be with us and to say goodbye. Mm. And I called my pastor, Tara, from North Point, and she immediately got on the road and drove to us.
Wow.
And was able to pray over him and pray with us as he made his entrance into heaven.
I'm saddened to hear that, because the tear of that is difficult. Let me ask you a question. With that, you know, the statistics are extremely high that when a child does pass, that so does the marriage.
Yeah.
just, you know, I don't want to, you know, share as much as you want, but how did that affect your marriage?
It very much affected my marriage, because I turned to Jesus, and I went even more involved as I was there constantly.
Yeah.
And with my church family, and with I did a lot of Bible reading, a lot of research, and a lot of like things like that, where my husband did not go that route. And I was initially very angry, as he was.
Yeah.
But my anger was subsided by my faith. Even though people say everything happens for a reason and things like that, which is very difficult to hear when a child dies.
Really?
And with that, I was able to say, maybe there is a reason for me, just for me, to do things in my life that will affect other people, that will show how strong Jesus' love is. By someone who's in so much pain, to be able to still say, I have this faith.
Wow.
And so now we talked about the fact that you have this organization, Jews Gifts from Heaven. Tell us a little bit about what that is and why you decided to start it.
Yeah, I decided to start it because since we were in the hospital for so long, I lost my job, and Drew was my only child, so I was home, and I didn't know what to do with my time, and I was you know, struggling to get out of bed and struggling to, you know, do normal day-to-day things. And people are so supportive when you first, when death first happens. You get the cards and you get the flowers and you get the phone calls, but eventually that stops. And as my first Mother's Day was approaching, I just felt this huge pain in my heart, knowing that there are other mothers who are going through a Mother's Day without a child and don't really get acknowledged because their child isn't there. So I said, I'm going to take up a collection. I'm going to send some gifts out. And I said it would be a gift from heaven. So that's why I started – I called it Drew's Gifts from Heaven. And our very first – round of trying to collect money and do these gifts, we collected for 30 gifts. And I was like, maybe this could be something. Like, maybe we can do something with this. And it just turned into bigger things. Like, we're about at 150-ish gifts at this point. We've raised over $3,000 for congenital heart defect research. We've donated toys. We've donated blankets. We've done, you know, all these things. And when it comes to bereaved gifts, we will cover Mother's Day, Father's Day, and Christmas. So on Christmas, the family's getting ornaments with their child's name on it. And Father's Day, this Father's Day, we did these nice plaques with the child's name on it with a quote. So we change things up and we make connections with area businesses to give these gifts and give these blessings to people that, and we've gotten so many nice responses from people that were like, no one got me a Mother's Day gift. No one said Happy Mother's Day to me, but you sent me this gift. And that was such a acknowledgement of my pain that my child still can send me this through me. You know, through this organization, we can say your child is still there and still loving on you and still present in your life. This gift. And my organization is just the middle person.
That's a very important middle person. We should add. In the remaining minutes we have, you know, I just, You know, the Bible tells us, you know, we forget sometimes those who are in prison, those who are home without a home, those who are without food. Mm-hmm. And Jesus says, man, you remembered me. And I think if it was me, you know, if I had to write in a fifth, I think we forget about those who've lost people. Mm-hmm. You know, I have a person in my church whose wife was an integral part of our church. And he got up at this wife's funeral and he said, everyone keeps asking me, what can we do? What can we do? He goes, just call. Call me. Mm. Not just now. I'm going to get a ton of calls over the next 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. Yeah. 6 months from now. Mm-hmm. 8 months from now. Mm-hmm. Just give me a call, see how I'm doing.
Absolutely.
And so we've made it a point to do that and say, hey, listen, let's make sure we stay in contact. And it's the same with these mothers and fathers mm-hmm. who've lost.
It reminds me that I remember C.S. Lewis is one of my – when I do read, I like to read C.S. Lewis of all things. And one of the a quote that he had was that it's a tear in the fabric – that death is a tear in the fabric. Now, Christ is able to mend that that tear. But you, even with a tear, the mending part, you still have that mend. Mm-hmm. And it's still visible and still there. Mm-hmm. And there's a pain there until we come to heaven. Mm-hmm. And so what I can see in what you're doing is helping to help mend that tear.
Yeah, with absolutely.
That's what I'm hearing.
Yeah. Amber, tell us a little bit. Do you have a website or what's the best way for people to get in contact with you if they want to contribute?
Yeah.
or just help or just get more information about Jews Gifts from Heaven?
Yeah, absolutely. We're actually in the works of putting together a official website. Okay. It's all that's going on right now. But we do have a Facebook page.
Okay.
So if you go to facebook.com/Drew's Gifts, you'll see us on there and you'll see a bunch of really adorable pictures of Drew on there.
Okay.
And you can always email to we accept nominations for these gifts.
Okay.
That's how we get most of our gifts sent out. And that's drewsgifts@yahoo.com.
Good.
Mm. And just send me the information on the loss and we will get a gift out to them.
Okay. That's awesome.
That's powerful. Mm-hmm.
Man, thank you so much for being with us, Amber.
Thank you.
And we should add, you do now have a son.
I do.
Yes. I'm glad you said that because I'm like, I don't know how we get that in.
And his name is?
His name is Dylan.
Okay.
Yeah. And
all right.
He's 19 months old and adorable, and we talk about his brother all the time.
Good. Mm-hmm. Good, good, good. Well, again, thank you for being with us.
Yeah, thank
you. Kevin, if you wouldn't mind doing us an honor of just praying us out.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Father in heaven, we just give you praise. Give you praise on how you take us through the journey of life. And we thank you for this precious child and the story that now we are hearing as a result of others now are being blessed.
Yes.
Lord, I thank you for who you are. I ask that you would just bless those that have heard this and that that they would contact those Facebook pages and things that was just mentioned. But, Lord, we love you. We just give you praise. Because you've loved us first. Mm. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
You make us strong. Alone without you.
Thank you for listening to His Stories Broadcast. We hope that you take a moment to look at us online for more encouraging stories of God transforming lives. We would also like to hear your stories. So drop us a line at HisStoriesBroadcast.com. That's HisStoriesBroadcast.com to add your part to the story God is telling.